Hello and welcome to Cultural Mechanics, a podcast that emerges out of my research and interest in a variety of topics relating to digital culture, electronic art, critical media, creative technologies, and the arts and humanities. I am, of course, James O'Sullivan. In this installment of Cultural Mechanics, I'm over in Sheffield Hallam University to meet with Dr. Alice Bell. A literary linguist, Alice studies literature written specifically for digital media and how it is that readers process digital fiction cognitively. Though familiar with her work, this was my first time encountering Alice in the flesh. It wasn't going to be difficult to recognise her. The first thing I spotted upon entering Sheffield Hallam was a large photo of Alice hanging from the ceiling. She, alongside some other colleagues, had been chosen by the student body to be the recipients of an award for being inspirational research supervisors. The profile of Alice includes a quote from an unnamed student, which reads, "As soon as I finish a meeting with her, I come out feeling enlightened. She restores my passion for the subject. I couldn't have hoped for a better supervisor. She's extremely supportive, and I aim to be like her someday." Pedagogy didn't feature much in our conversation, but I think this accolade is worth noting. For a lot of scholars, research comes first, while for others, teaching is their focus. When you meet someone who is so clearly accomplished in both, it's worth noting. As mentioned, Alice is more of a linguist than she is a literary scholar, though I appreciate that sometimes this can be an arbitrary distinction. Regardless, I was curious to learn how it was that she first became interested in digital fiction.
Well, I think when I was doing my undergraduate degree, I became aware of postmodernism in print form, really. And through that, I think I just discovered people playing around with hypertext. And I'd always been interested in science as well as the arts, and I sort of always had that interest. So I wanted to find out a bit more about this hypertext. And I guess that was 2001 or something. So, you know, early days. So I decided I wanted to do a PhD and I wanted to do that in some kind of electronic literature of some kind. So I did a master's in computer science because I thought I wanted to really understand the kind of technical side of it. So I went away and did that for a year. And actually during the course of that, I really realised that I'd missed the arts and I was focusing a lot on the technical side of things, but I'd really missed engaging with texts and analysing texts in that way. So actually my PhD was much more an arts PhD, an English PhD than it was a computing one.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, you have that synthesis in electronic literature. So I'm a literary linguist rather than a computer scientist or somebody who's a kind of literature scholar, I suppose. That's how I came to it.
Alice studies what she calls digital fiction, an art form that I would typically refer to as either electronic literature or literary gaming. So I pressed Alice on her terminology, as well as asked her to explain, particularly for listeners who might not be familiar with this field, what it is that she means by digital fiction.
Firstly, I concentrate personally on fiction. I don't really analyse poetry in my own research. So I really wanted to think about what it is that digital fiction does, which might be different to what digital poetry might do. And actually the definition that I go by was something that I developed in the Digital Fiction International Network project that was involved with myself, Astrid Enslin, Dave Chicariccio, Jessica Pressman and Jessica Lachetti. And Joseph Tabby was also involved in some of those discussions. And we were trying to come up with a definition that really got to a sense of what we meant by digital fiction. And we went for the digital rather than the electronic. And I think that was because electronic can be associated with e-books.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to sort of distinguish the texts from that. But digital fiction to me is written, read from a computer. It's written specifically for that medium, so you can't take it away from that medium and it be the same text. I've been thinking recently actually about that definition in terms of the use of the term read and write, because a lot of digital fiction that I'm thinking about now has a lot of audio.
Yeah.
And that you're not reading that, it's not text in the same way that you would read it, you listen to it, so maybe it's about experiencing.
One could spend a lifetime defining what it is that we mean by digital fiction. But I think it's safe to say that Alice adheres to the Cathy Hale school of thought, that this is fiction written on a computer that is typically intended to be read on a computer. Moving beyond definitions, we get to one of Alice's major contributions to the field, the new approach to the analysis of digital fiction that she outlines in her book, The Possible Worlds of Hypertext Fiction. The purpose of this book is made explicitly clear right from the outset. The first line reads, "This book offers a new critical approach for the analysis of hypertext fiction."
The main emphasis, I think the main focus of that book is thinking about the way that hypertext fiction and its story space text that I'm looking at there plays with the ontological boundary between the fictional world and the actual world. And that's something I'm permanently interested in electronic text or digital fiction. Because I think that digital texts do play with that boundary more or more easily than other media. So in the book, what I'd noticed from researching around hypertext fiction at that time, and this was my doctoral work, so about 2003, and then I wrote it up into a book in 2010. But what I noticed was that there was a lot of talk around hypertext as a kind of form of text or form of textuality. And there was a lot of theorising going on around what that meant for text, what does that mean for literature, what does that mean for readers and writers. And it's really important to have those debates. But I felt that there was lacking a framework that you could use to apply to those texts, to get readings out of those texts, or to explain what was going on between readers and individual texts. Okay. And that, for me, was what I wanted. I mean, I'm a stylistician, I'm a narratologist, I want to apply something to a text and generate, show how those texts mean what they do.
Okay.
So possible worlds theory is an approach founded in philosophical logic, which has been brought into narrative theory. And fundamentally what it does is it looks at a text and actually a reading situation of a fictional text in terms of worlds. So what kind of world does the text create? What's the reader's relationship to that world? What worlds does that world contain? So if characters imagine things, they create their own little imaginary worlds in that text. And it's very good at explaining, at modeling, at analyzing texts that play with ontology then. So texts that play around with this idea of worlds or boundaries between a fictional world and the actual world. And for me then, that was the right tool to be using to play with, to apply to texts that play with world structures.
Okay. Alice has made another major contribution to the field. This one coming in her capacity as principal investigator of an AHRC-funded project, Reading Digital Fiction. For listeners unfamiliar with the system in the UK, the AHRC is the Arts and Humanities Research Council.
The Reading Digital Fiction Project is a collaboration with me and Astrid Enslin, who I've done quite a lot of collaborative work with before. Lyle Skeynes, who's based at Bangor University, has recently come on board. And then we have a research assistant working on the project, currently Isabel van der Bom. So Reading Digital Fiction, we're doing two things really in that. One of the aims is to introduce more readers and more non-academic readers to digital fiction. And we're doing that by public events. So we had an exhibition provocatively entitled The Future of Reading?
Okay.
An exhibition of digital literature. And that was held at Bank Street Arts in Sheffield. And it really traced the historical development of digital fiction. And we started with proto-hypertext, print fiction. So B.S. Johnson, Marx supporter, those kind of writers. And we moved through text adventure games, so interactive fiction. We had Zork, okay. And we had that running on an original 1980s machine, which we borrowed from the Computing History Museum in Cambridge.
Okay.
And then we went into Eastgate Story Space, hypertext, running on an old 90s machine.
Yeah.
And then we had two rooms dealing with different forms of interactivity and different forms of modality, and multimodality. That was really successful, very well attended, and it was a lot of visitors to the gallery, non-academic audiences. We've been holding reading groups, introducing readers to digital fiction, and having reading groups use those texts as their weekly, you know, book, or monthly book in their reading groups. We've set up some reading sessions where we've been in with readers and talked about these different kind of texts. And we've got some exhibitions coming up in Bangor and some other ideas. So it's a load of public events, essentially.
But how, I asked Alice, has the public responded to such events?
I was unsure as to what the response might be, because sometimes these texts can be a bit of a challenge to read if you haven't read that kind of work before. I think there was maybe something about them being in a gallery with information about the text. Okay. They could see the lineage of these works, that there were people there in the gallery to help them, that made them less intimidating and seem more relevant.
Yeah.
So it was massively positive. Some of the feedback we got was great. A lot of people wanting to learn how to write it.
Okay.
A lot of people saying, I never knew this entire world existed. I'm going to go and read some more.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Okay.
Really positive. The second part of the project, which is the research side, is we're using reader response data and empirical methods of getting that data to, firstly, to understand how readers process digital fiction as a form of text, which is multimodal, which is interactive. And then secondly, to use the data that we get in that research to inform our analyses of these texts. So it's rather than relying on only our introspective, personal responses to these texts, we're looking at how a wider range of readers engage with these texts and what that might tell us about the text and also how people process literature from a cognitive perspective.
Okay. Reading digital fiction is very much a work in progress, but luckily for us, Alice and her collaborators have already made some discoveries. She was kind enough to share some of these, as well as discuss some of the project's methodologies.
Yeah, I mean, we are doing three main areas of research in that. One is looking at the use of the second person in digital fiction, and that's something that I've done research on before and written about from a theoretical and analytical point of view. So where in that project, in that study, we are looking at the use of you in The Princess Murderer.
Okay.
And that's a very, it's in an experimental setting, so we're getting readers looking at The Princess Murderer and we're asking them about particular uses of the second person in that text, using think aloud protocols, very structured interviews with them. That is fascinating work. We have just finished collecting the data for the full study on that.
Okay.
And one of the things that we're very interested in is how the second person can manipulate readers and how they can feel manipulated or how they might resist being positioned by the second person.
Okay.
The second study is about immersion and about how people who experience digital fiction feel immersed. I think there are a lot of different definitions of immersion. There are a lot of different understandings from print, reading print fiction, from video game research. Digital fiction is a kind of combination of that kind of experience, and we're trying to understand what immersion might mean, but also, as important, how do readers conceptualize immersion? What does immersion mean? So we used a text called Wallpaper, written by Andy Campbell and Judy Elston of Dreaming Methods. And they produced this work specifically alongside our project with some funding from Sheffield Hallam University and the Arts Council England. We exhibited it at Bank Street Arts in an immersive space, and we asked groups of readers to go and experience that individually and come together to collectively discuss it as they would in a reading group. The third study is about hyperlinks and about how readers read hyperlinks, really. So when they come to a hyperlink, what are they expecting? What does the destination lexia, how does that reflect what they were expecting or contradict what they were expecting? And that's really drawing on work. I've done something about some research using schema theory with hyperlinks in hypertext fiction, and Susan Tosca, she did some work looking at hyperlinks with relevance theory. So a lot of that are very theoretical, and we're really trying to empirically understand what goes on.
You know, that's enough about Alice Bell, the researcher. What about Alice Bell, the reader? I asked Alice what her own personal favourite work of digital fiction might be.
I still really go back to some of the story space, hypertext, because that was some of the first stuff that I read and I analysed. So I do like quite a few of those. I'd still like Afternoon. I think that's very clever. I really like Nightingale's Playground by Judy Elston and Andy Campbell, Dreaming Methods piece. I like that because it's got a 3D world that you're kind of going into. But also it's really nostalgic for me because it's about a video game called The Sentinel that I remember playing when I was younger. I think the way that you move through that world with fragments of text is really nice. And it's quite a scary story. So I have a strong emotional response to that text. I like 1001 by Lance Olson and Tim Guthrie. I love that. It's kind of postmodern play, playing with ontological boundaries, using external links. I think I really enjoy that, and I use that a lot with students. And my current absolute favourite piece is an app called Karen by an experimental theatre company called Blast Theory.
I don't know that piece.
Okay, this is amazing piece of work. I absolutely love it. I think it really utilises app technology well. It really draws the reader into the experience, or is it a reader, the experiencer into the experience. Yeah. It's called Karen. It's supposed to be a life coach experience.
Okay.
So Karen rings you up in a video call, and she asks you questions, and you respond to questions, typing in things on your smartphone or your tablet.
And what platform is it for?
It's a Apple app.
Okay, it's Apple. Okay.
I think you can actually get it on
Android.
Yeah. But it is totally amazing. It's very immersive. The line between the actual world and the fictional world is completely dissolved, and so it feels a very simultaneously exciting, intrusive, weird. You feel very responsible for her. You don't know if you're playing yourself, if you're playing a character. It's fascinating piece.
Okay.
And we're doing some empirical work with that, working with readers and their responses to that. And the data that we have got is phenomenally interesting.
Okay. Alice references a broad range of works, from story space pieces published in the 1980s to more contemporary app-based works published on iOS. To conclude our discussion, I asked Alice how she feels digital fiction has evolved over the years.
I mean, most obviously, the technology just makes different kinds of experimentation possible. So Eastgate was very, it was heavily text-based. Well, I think the structures there were also, you know, narrative, full of narrative contradictions and uncertainties, and it was quite a labour-intensive job to read them. You know, really had to commit to reading them. And then, you know, a wave of work which is really more visual and playing around with bits of animation and maybe linking in not quite so much of a branched way. And that might be more of an accessible kind of text. It's definitely a different kind of reading experience, I would say. And recently, I think it's interesting that we're seeing the use of apps more, and people like Inkle producing these, which really are going back to interactive fiction style works.
And you think that that rise of the apps in digital fiction is more a product of the affordances of the technology or the desire of publishers and authors to actually have some sort of a commercial benefit from their work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a bit of both, to be fair. I mean, it's always been, digital fiction has always come, I think, from that experimental tradition and that kind of independent, almost indie game sort of way of approaching writing. I think there probably is a drive for commercialising at some level. And I actually think the app is probably the right way to go, that or the sort of literary game angle. Because I think people are used to switching between different activities on their phone. So you read the news and then you go on Facebook and then you text somebody and then you send an email. And also the phone belongs to you and you carry it around with you. So you don't have to dedicate some time to sitting at a computer and reading a piece of digital fiction on there. You can do it on the bus. You can do it on the tube maybe. And so I think the app will change the readership of what we understand of digital fiction, because I think it opens it up.
The rise of the app, like any new technological trend and the affordances it provides, has contributed to a new wave of digital fiction. The significance of that wave is yet to be seen. What is certain is that this field continues to evolve, and as Alice rightly points out, continues to reach an increasingly broad audience, and that, well, that is a very good thing.